Good evening, everyone, and welcome to not our regular Thursday stream. We're doing it on a Wednesday this time because we have shieldings starting on Friday and we don't want to make ourselves too tuckered out the night
Yes.
before. That is the reason why we're doing this on a Wednesday. We try not to chop and change the stream day too much because having stuff in a regular schedule that people know is very convenient. But we decided it's better than doing no stream this week. Because I know I've been quite busy, but I think we didn't ha quite have one together for Monday. So just
No.
explaining the day change for people. Yes, good evening or good morning depending on your time zone.
Yes,
Anyway,
I hope the friend brigade is doing well.
yes, hello friends. You are friend, in that you are allowed within the pillow fort. How are you? As always, I'm joined by our regular co-host on the now Starman, more regular Starman and the Zuma episodes. Although Trig will continue to make appearances, despite people thinking he may have become a complete normie. That isn't true. He's just off playing his Dungeons and Dragons game, but also going outside, which seems mutually exclusive, but it's not.
I don't know. I think we need to run some more tests on that. We'll need to test his fingertips and see how much grass he's touched. See, I have for a while been wanting to make a meme that's just sort of like I would tell you to touch grass, but I don't think the grass deserves it.
Ooh, slightly edgy. Slightly edgy anti-meme. Yes, all non-friends are banished.
Only
The
friends.
friend non-friend distinction, as we call it. Some of you may know, but we'll go over it again just to be exhaustive. Like I said, we will be at Shieldings this Friday. I still think there are a couple of last minute tickets available.
I
I'm not
believe
entirely
so.
sure. I'm not entirely sure.
If you're an
Yes.
absolute mad lad, as Dank would say, you can go and buy a last minute ticket.
I will actually put a sorry, I had this up and now I can't find it. I'll put a link to that in the chat anyway. It should be in the description, but it apparently it's not in this version, which is annoying because I reused the other one. But it's in the site, it's in the chat anyway. We're just doing our regularly scheduled shillings. You also have your speech from last year that was included in the event book, but wasn't actually a speech.
Yes,
That is.
that went up on the Substack yesterday.
Yes.
And then for those who don't want to read a 6,000-word essay, there is also a audio version of it on the channel
On this very channel,
from
yes.
near enough almost this time last year.
We're trying to just give it to people in different forms so they can experience it.
Yes, I'm rather looking forward to the weekend though. Last year was a great laugh. I'm sure this year will be just as much, if not more so. However, I will admit, it's like not like super nervous, but I will be quite chuffed by about 4 o'clock on Saturday once I finish my speech.
Yes, thank you there, Dr. Pepper. There may actually be an essay by me in the book. I'm not actually sure if that's made it or
He's
not,
not
but
Dr. Pepper, he's Dr. Prepper.
oh, sorry. I'm dyslexic.
That's
Doctor, that's
great.
better. That is pretty good actually. But you have the time slot before Tablet Magazine and TYT guest Curtis Yarvin.
Yes, the Young Turks panelist, Curtis Yarvin. He's the second most red-pilled panelist I've ever had on there, according to Sargon, at least.
Oh God, is that what he said?
He was talking about like Anna Kasparian being red-pilled about crime the other day. I was like, oh, God.
Oh yeah, because they acknowledged that a man who was arrested 40 times for randomly punching people might not deserve to be the poster child for bailed funds. They were basically trying
Or
to stop
no,
people
surely
from.
he is the poster child for bail bonds at that point. He's a repeat
Yeah.
customer.
Well, they're trying desperately to stop their audience saying the quiet part too loud. That's what that is. It's them trying to like hard wrangle non-Machiavellians who, like a child trying not to eat broccoli paste, are frantically whipping their heads back and forth and going, no. It's rather funny, but apparently that's what passes as red pilled. Wow, guys, so base. They partially acknowledge reality. It's, I don't know, that kind of neatly folds into what we're talking about today.
Yes.
Which really is a combination of things that kind of build up into one big thing. But as you may or may not know, I'll just gloss over the events right now. Because a lot of people didn't know what the IDW was when you made your Hopper versus IDW stream
Yeah.
quite a few months ago, because they are so irrelevant and that term has been so out of the news cycle. Basically, to make a long story short, the IDW, or Intellectual Dark Web, was a group of people like Jordan Peterson, Sam Harris, blah blah blah. They tried to include like Joe
Weinstein's Ben
Weinstein.
Shapiro.
They tried to include like Joe Rogan at one point, but it kind of fell apart. It's mostly a they made it up themselves and used it for like a week, and then the media kind of got hold of it. And
Yeah.
I don't know. IDW kind of reminds me of NRX in that sense, in that it only ever existed in retrospect, and everyone talks about it in the
Yes.
past tense.
No, that's very much the case. Except for no one called themselves NRX. These people did call themselves IDW
Yeah,
for a week.
they did.
'Cause
They did for about a
I was
week.
just to find that funny. Like people would like reply to me on Twitter being like, "Oh, you're one of the NRX people from AA Circle." It's like I've never in my puff referred to myself as neo-reactionary in any way, shape, or form.
I think that NRX is one of like the terms people are groping for in the dark when they talk about distant right stuff. It very much is a term that again doesn't have a lot of meaning, but we're not really here to talk about NRX. We're here to talk about the similar, slightly similar term in terms of its application, IDW, as an intro, and Sam Harris, who also tacked himself on to, if you guys are old enough to remember and were paying attention at the time to this corner, the Atheist Movement's Four Horsemen, which is as
Oh,
again as
yeah.
cringe and self-aggrandizing as it sounds. That was Christopher Hitchens, Dawkins, some other bloke with a beard, and apparently Sam Harris. Although I and everyone else completely forgets he was part of that. People just remember Hitchens talking to Dawkins and very, very thoroughly sniffing each other's farts.
But you had mentioned, well, we were sort of coming up with some of the ideas for this that is kind of similar, as you mentioned before. The I did a two part set of streams on Hopper's essay. I believe it's called a Quest for a Grand Libertarian Narrative of History or something along those lines, where he spends quite a large portion of it talking about one of the other IDW members, Steven Pinker,
Yes.
and essentially sort of in a roundabout way, gatekeeps every single one of those people out of his understanding of liberalism. And I think it's such an integral point that shows how fraudulent, especially your sort of your James Lindsays especially are. Because he is someone who thinks of himself as an academic. I believe he is a doctorate.
Yes.
He's spent a lot longer than probably we have reading all sorts of material. And seems to be unable to actually give a robust defense of liberalism as a tradition born and bred in the West for Western people. Because as soon as you start to gatekeep, as it were, these people then jump onto all the different slogans of the, that's at the point at which you become a reactionary. You try to claim that liberalism is a tradition of white people for white people. There you go, you're a reactionary for defending liberalism. Which is,
What?
it's the position
Yeah.
these people end up putting themselves and arguing from, which is something we're going to get, because I think maybe it should be worth noting as well, a lot of what we are going to talk about across this stream is very much in kind of the dialectical abstract. I mean, I think one of the main points we will come across is that, and someone's mentioned it in chat, I don't really know if the left came up with the term intellectual dark web. I suppose considering the
No,
fact
but
that everyone within it is by certain definitions a leftist anyway, that that's somewhat true. But more what we concern ourselves with is the fact that when people point to the right wing, you're given examples of Ron DeSantis, of James
yes.
Lindsay, of Ben Shapiro, and these people are not part of maybe the more militant and upfront sort of right wing that we see ourselves as part of.
Well, I wouldn't consider someone like Brett Weinstein or especially someone like Sam Harris as part of the right wing at all.
No.
There's an article here I linked, just for an idea of how this was built up, from the New York Times, and their tone in 2018 was "Meet the renegades of the intellectual dark web." An
Have you
alliance of
got the
heretics is making an end run around the mainstream conversation. Should we be listening? Question mark. And you're right, it was very much hyped up by those people. It was hyped up by the leftists, the radical
Oh
centrists, in
God, he looks
quotes.
so terrible in that bit. Is that like
Yeah,
they're
the
trying to make him look cool with a black umbrella and the weird long shaky exposure? God,
well,
that's
he's got like a
terrible.
weird blur effect around it as well.
Oh
That
God, this
is
is by
just
Barry Weiss as well.
it's I'm gonna say, and this, if you know your terrible like neo-lib neocon writers, is by Barry Weiss. It's I don't know, it's Weiss writing about Weinstein, which is all that you should know about this article, if you know your onions, let's say.
Yeah, the Israeli dick washers.
God. Yes, the Mossad massages. I will say though that really, briefly to sum up what has happened and has been the jumping off point for many people to talk about this, and oh God, these sites are always so zoomed out. I hate it so much.
Yeah, no, I've noticed the line here. I was meeting with Sam Harris, a neuroscientist, Eric Weinstein, a mathematician and managing director of Thiel Capital. Red flags.
Dave Rubin,
And their
yeah.
spouses in an LA restaurant to talk about how they were turned into heretics.
Again, we'll get over this point as well, that these are the people that have essentially been thrust into our circles, not the people who have, one, explicitly identified themselves in a way that would make them more useful, and two, have come from organically our own communities. But I get to get into the instigating point of why a lot of people are talking about this, and we're going to talk about it
Oh God,
almost not at
Christina
all.
Hoff Sommers, Jesus, what?
Oh God, what? What
Oh,
is she doing in there? Are we
but
back in
she.
Gamergate again?
Well, no, do you not remember at one point that like she ended up becoming bloody pals with Sargon and Twitter because they ended up agreeing over like TERF stuff for some nonsense?
Christina Hoff Sommers was also like part of the Gamergate stuff for a while.
Yep, well, she was on the other side of that, and then oh, yep, they've got everyone's favorite House Negro, Candace Owens,
Oh, God.
a telegenic speaker with killer instincts who makes videos with titles like "How to Escape the Democrat Plantation" by what by fixing your ranch up on the Republican plantation, and the left thinks
God.
black people are stupid because the Democrats are the real racist guys.
Democrats are the real racist. I just need to get that clip of Murdoch Murdoch
Ah,
with
no, we're
their
the real racist, you idiot.
We are, you idiots.
God, what is
No.
that? They're even trying to make like people in the IDW seem racist. Many others in the IDW were made nervous by her sudden ascendance to the limelight, seeing Miss Owens not as a sincere intellectual, but as a provocateur in the mold of Milo Yiannopoulos.
Again, these people, the reason that they're brought up like this is they're brought up as the far acceptable edge. This is how the sausage gets made. People like Sam Harris, people like Jordan Peterson, people like Brett Weinstein, all of these people
They
are
are.
brought up as the
Well,
acceptable edge
I
of
mean,
the of the conversation, in
I
quotes.
joked to you before we started that Sam Harris is basically just regurgitating everything. God, did I accidentally close that
Yeah,
tab
you
there?
did.
How did I do that? I'm an idiot. Give me a second. No, but the Sam Harris is regurgitating everything Christopher Hitchens said. You know.
Quick, put the thumbnail back on. There's a blank screen. We're gonna lose cringe. We're gonna lose viewers.
I'm trying to fix the OBS window at the same time though.
Stream dancing. But yeah, it's what were you
And
saying? Sorry about Brit.
you know that someone like Sam Harris,
Yeah.
in many ways, is just regurgitating what Christopher Hitchens said. However, could we maybe actually argue that someone like Sam Harris is probably to the left the crest of our Hitchens. And as you're pointing to, that what that allows
my
them to do is
magnitude
yeah,
ways,
like,
yes.
to blur the edge of where right wing begins. Because I don't think Christopher Hitchens would have ever called himself a right winger or been allowed to be called a right winger. Yet people who are very clearly to the left of him nowadays and are much more progressive, at least as far as I'm aware, are then touted as the right. It's like the whole dialectics sort of switched and gone arse backwards.
That's the point. The point is that you end up with, as we've talked about previously, the civic nationalists becoming the modern right, as we'll get into later.
Yes.
But as I've been trying to allude to for the past 5-10 minutes and dancing around it, the instigating event of this was Sam Harris, that honestly a lot of people had forgotten he existed, appeared on a podcast, I think that's called Trigonometry.
Oh,
get it, guys?
Because
the libs are triggered. Oh, God, I hate
you've
it.
You've got to remember that that's the team of guys that turned around and basically told AA to go screw himself and claimed that everyone in his audience was a fascist, supposedly.
Yes.
So that shows what you need to know about the trigonometry blokes.
They are non-friends.
No.
They are very explicitly non-friends. And even in their capacity as non-friends, Mr. Sam Harris went on their podcast. And it's been all over social media. You can just search Sam Harris. We're not going to have it on screen. We're not going to go over it. It's been played out quite heavily. But he basically said that because Donald Trump was a, and I quote, existential threat to democracy and the system, that the ends justify the means. And again, I quote, he wouldn't care if Hunter Biden had dead children buried in his basement. He still wants the story buried so Trump will lose the election, because that tactically is the correct thing to do, because Trump is an outsider and he's too much of a threat to what he considers the essentials of the system. And he says this, like, he says this in these terms, which is very, it's very honest, and it's actually one of the, weirdly enough, it's one of the better things he's said, because it's at least it's mask off, at least he's being honest for once.
I mean, I
suppose, he's not...
but that doesn't excuse it.
No, I'm not excusing it.
No,
I'm saying that if you're going to believe that, at least say it.
Yeah, I suppose at least he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, and it's beneficial to us that he very much outs himself. It's sad that it's taken him putting up a big flag and waving, I am not your friend, I hate you, I think you're an existential threat, and I will destroy you. But it's baby steps for some people. The very fact that there has been this one feigned outrage by certain quarters of people who default to the, we're the real defenders of democracy position, and also anyone thinking that you couldn't derive the fact that he is not an ally from his beliefs, his actions, and his basic philosophy and view of history is, I think, a little bit of a flaw.
God, this is actually there is a little interesting bit at the bottom of this here. I'll let you continue on, but we're gonna quickly return to that New York Times article, because I've just noticed something at the bottom. Am I a member of this movement? I think this is Barry Weiss talking to himself here. A few months ago, someone suggested on Twitter that I should join this club I've never heard of. I looked into it. Like many in this group, I am a classical liberal. I'm sure you are, pal. Who has run afoul of the left, often for voicing my convictions and sometimes simply by accident.
Barry Weiss is a woman, by the way.
I could not care less. See, and in my head, I realised that after I said it, but I was like, do you know what, I'm just going to carry on here. That, you know, I'm sure, like, good classical liberals like Rothbard, she has made her defence of why civil rights is a bad policy from a propertarian perspective, I'm sure.
Yeah,
as all good classical liberals do. And then it continued on at the bottom, I run the risk of losing focus inordinately on its excesses and providing succour to some people who I deeply oppose. I get the appeal of the IDW. I share the belief that our institutional gatekeepers need to crack the gates open much more. I don't, however, want to live in a culture where there are no gatekeepers at all. Given how influential this group is becoming, I can't be alone in hoping that the IDW finds a way to eschew the cranks, grifters, and bigots and sticks to the truth-seeking.
And that is where we have it. They are meant as a rout. You have, you know, a New York Times columnist, Barry Weiss, who is an arch neoliberal, saying, "I hope these people take up enough space in the conversation that those I find repugnant are unable to speak." And that's the point of them. That's the point of these people. And they will, as we keep saying, all of these people who are not explicitly on your side and do not explicitly hold your ideas, if they believe in this, in, you
God,
know,
the
the
number of
system's ideas.
Heather Haying, Deborah Soho, all these different people. This is like a blast from the past, this.
Yes, it is. It very much is. And we're kind of seeing the end fruit of it now. If we had gone out at the time and blasted people like Brett Weinstein and Sam Harris and all, what's he called, James Lindsay, and all those people, and said, "Look, these people do not believe what you believe, and they are really just neoliberals saying something that's slightly more friendly to your biases. Their core beliefs are far more in line with like a Butch Junior or a Tony Blair than you."
Rob's made a point in chat here, and I think that's somewhat what he's trying to suggest. Anyway, I will extrapolate from it. I think also note that truth seeking, rather than claiming to actually have ideas behind some kind of vanguard pushing them, not entirely. You know, as soon as someone shows up and rocks up on the political scene and says, "Yes, my only goal is neutral, objective truth seeking," they have an agenda, and they have an agenda that they're not willing to tell you about.
Of course, yes. It's the myth of neutral politics. We also have a donation here from Seasider, who donated $10, thank you, and said, "Sam, elites drinking child blood is fine, Harris." I mean, yeah, basically. That's
That's
where we
the
are.
price we pay to live in society, comrade.
It's the price we pray to live in a liberal democracy, I'll have you know. But he did go full, you know, friend enemy distinction. Again, we'll talk about that in some more detail later.
Where shall we continue on to next then?
Well, what I want to use this really is a jumping off point of like, we need to prevent this from keep happening. We need to prevent people like Sam Harris becoming the representation of what the quote unquote right wing fight back
What I
is,
might do
of
quickly
what
then is,
the alternative is.
I'm gonna, or shall I say, we are gonna borrow an image that AA tweeted out the other day, and I believe he's also gonna use in his Witan speech. But I think
Yes.
the, you know, it's like, of course, it would be us that would come out and say, this is a good move from AA, because it's basically a copy and paste sort of graphic of something we've been talking about in a number of different variations for God knows how long now.
Yeah.
You know, you can think of it as like a sort of function of, you know, here at the bottom are all the reasons why the status quo since about 1900s has been entirely rotten from its core. And then as you head upwards and upwards and upwards and upwards, and you get to the top here, what you find is like the, you know, the fringes of the worst of modernity. And that if you are someone who makes content, say, just about this top issue or these top two, three, or
Yeah.
four issues, you know, that's enough for people dialectically to see you as right wing. But really, you are just a toned down progressive, and you want to do the whole, you know, return to sort of Fresh Prince again, to steal another one of AA's terms, because you really just want to go back to politics just before Tony Blair came in, and
Yes,
that's
it's
all
the
they stand for.
The, as we've all seen, that the anti-trans thing is very mainstream now, and I'm a little bit aggrieved that certain people basically had a go at you for saying this months ago because of who you are, and then have been regurgitating it since it's become popular. That a lot of people are now finally begrudgingly acknowledging that quote unquote getting rid of the troons doesn't functionally do anything, and that they have been, as we've made, I think, six streams about at this point. To go back and kind of toot our own horn, we've got tilting at rainbows, we have containment the based ball pit, we have the victim narratives of the very online right. To an extent, we also have one of our older streams just simply entitled "It's Not 2015 Anymore." This is something we've been banging on about for more than a year. And it's finally coming round into some people's thinking.
Well, yeah,
But even
it's.
then, it's quite a fringe idea,
I mean,
honestly,
it's
still.
the way I would put it forward, and someone either, I don't know, you might want to have a crack at it either this evening or tomorrow at some point, because I think it would be a good meme and will provide lots of future value. But You know, the Stone Toss Burgers meme where, you know, Ben Shapiro's like, look, this is our new $100 million Daily Wire kids programming network that will fight against CRT and transgender ideology. And then the guy on the other table is like, well, how does this help us defeat the left? And obviously Ben Shapiro turns around and the guy says, defeat the left? Question mark.
Yeah. It's very much...
Because you don't see... You know, Douglas Murray is not getting up and down on GB News to talk about, you know, oh, have you heard of this great book called Stalin's War? Have you heard of Anthony C. Sutton? Do you know about, you know, what Rothbard had to say about the progressive era and how that built up into, you know, the total war of the American Civil War, World War One and World War Two? No, of course he's not. You know, is he even going to get into the realms of, you know, questioning the vaccine or the election in the States or even like going full, you know, he does the whole counter jihad thing, which I think is a worthwhile point because I noticed there was, what was the two bloody, Jordan Peterson did like a, you know, a message to Christians, a message to Muslims, and then never did a video called a message to Jews.
Well, once you get past kind of the 0%, the 2020 election stuff is very much, it's beyond the pale. I'd argue it's probably in America, it's below anti-vaccine stuff.
I do wonder, though, I think there is a large amount of that that is a rear guard action. And I think people like Peterson and Harris, when they talk about social media banning and the big tech thing are doing the exact same. You know, there is a big subset of people who post-2020 have decided that liberal democratic politics in the West does not work. They have decided that social media does not work. It is a scourge on our culture. And instead of rejecting these things and focusing on our energy and something else, you have all these talking heads who are like, no, we've got to find out how the election was rigged so we can save democracy. You know, we've got to find out what's happening on the board on Twitter so that we can make Twitter a free speech platform for everyone, except the extremists, of course. You know, it's just constantly getting you encapsulated and contained back into the whole system. You're not allowed to leave. You can argue against it, but as long as you argue against it on its own platforms and on its own terms.
Well, first of all, I want to go through a couple of base principle things. We could maybe just bring up the document here, honestly, and zoom in a little bit, because I just want to have a quick recap of the very basic building blocks of how we are. I don't think in a state currently to effectively gatekeep.
No, but we should at least be conscious of it as we continue.
Yes. The problem is, as we talked about before, the basic building blocks is having a community. It's having a group of people that we recognize on a very basic level and a group of people that we, to some extent, trust. We also, the second stage of that is leadership from that group. It is finding leaders from within our own circles, from within the group of people that we know, not from without. And that creates, you know, the vanguard that we've talked about. And then the third pillar is using that to have a shared and agreed upon and, most importantly of all, then enforced set of ideas. And you have to codify what you are and what you aren't. Mm. And the modern right, the distant right, what you want to call it, doesn't have that yet.
No. This is a great lead in, and one of the things you wanted to cover this evening, which is, I'm sure if people are not familiar with it, they bloody well should be, John O'Sullivan's Law, or Sullivan's First. It's not even a Sullivan's First Law, I think it's just called a Sullivan's Law, which is Americans all refer to as Conquest's Second Law. However, Conquest never really had a written, this is me just being a nerd now, but Conquest never really had a written source for that. The first time you ever see it attributed to him is in a biography of him in 1991, whereas John O'Sullivan seems to have...
1989, yeah, National Review. We have it right here.
And of course, because he's a second named O'Sullivan, when he's not writing National Review articles, he moonlights as a world championship snooker player.
Very, very good, Ron O'Sullivan.
I think we have a brief... yes, because this is... Oh God, I've just noticed the way the text is laid out, because it's archived. Can I zoom in without that? Oh, I'll fix it. No, the this is something I mentioned actually in the Ted K. Rogues Gallery article I wrote as well, because he talks about it in a similar vein. But the I'm just trying to find yeah, this is explained by O'Sullivan's first law. All organizations that are not actually right wing will over time become left wing. And in this article, I think you linked, there's a couple of different ways in which he explains how that happens, but
Yeah. I cite as supporting evidence the ACLU, the Ford Foundation, and the Episcopal Church. The reason is, of course, that people who staff such bodies tend to be the sort who don't like private profit, business making money, the current organization of society, and by extension, the Western world. A point which Michael's iron law of ol at which point, sorry, Michael's iron law of oligarchy takes over and the rest follows. There's a tweaked version of this, which is Conquest's second law, which is any organization that is not explicitly right wing, but they're both equivalent. And that's the I think that people like Sam Harris, Brett Weinstein, to an extent Jordan Peterson, they fail O'Sullivan's law in that they are not explicitly right wing. But there's a very before I explain the iron law of oligarchy, there's a very important second point, which is for O'Sullivan's law to work, you need a well-defined and static idea of what being right-wing means. That's the second part of this dance, and that's the great trick of the
Well, I think
maneuver
as well there
in
is
that.
also so Sullivan being incredibly receptive and essentially writing the inverse, or it's not the inverse, but the logical corollary of repressive tolerance from Marcuse. You know,
Yeah.
if they know they can use the claim of freedom and liberalism to attack any institution under the guise that it's not open, it's gatekeeping, you know, it's reactionary, it's not pluralistic as it should be in current year, blah 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 blah. And if you allow
Yeah.
those people in, and doubly so if you make one of the tenets of your movement the fact that you are free speech, then you lose your ability in some extent, because you're not already the party in power. You lose your ability to then take people out of the group, because you don't have the power to justify the double standard, as it were.
Yeah. You don't have the herd private company essentially hand wave. Although I'm being facetious there, really. What you don't have is you don't have the sovereign power within your own organization. You don't have the people who are at the apex saying, this is what we are, this is what we aren't. If you are what we aren't, you don't belong here, and you will be either told to leave or forced out. Probably in that order. Oh, we have another donation here, though, from JD. You donated £5. Thank you for that. He said a lot of the commentators struggle because they realize their 2016 views are actually quite common and are left intellectually stranded. Well, they're quite common now. They may have been less common at the time, but I think that a lot of the discourse has essentially been frozen in place as we work towards the reintegration phase, where a lot of the establishment pretends that they were quote unquote anti-woke the whole time.
Yes.
And our pods don't have the trans flag painted on them, and people hang out a massive mission accomplished banner. And Trump finally says Gamergate, and Gamergate 2 happens. And then Sargon becomes an MEP, and we win.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean that's a great way to look at it, though. That if and I mean If we can go on a little segue, I would like to reference something from one of the posts I put up on the Anti-Politics page not too long ago, because I think this ties in almost perfectly to the same notion you're talking about. I briefly mentioned the fact that, wokeism has allowed for the rise of a
Which
new
article is this from, by the way? Sorry, you want it?
this is from the Why Settle for Less one.
I'd scroll up to the top and show people the title and the cover before.
I probably
Just
should, yes.
it gives people a bit of a reference point that way. But yeah, this is
Oh shit.
Why Settle for Less. It's your article about I think Ron DeSantis and the anti-woke scolds. It's from back in April, I believe. So a little bit of an older one now, actually.
Well, yeah, it's sort of a follow on from a piece AA'd written called The Anti-Woke Scolds, which was quite good in and of itself, but I think I've taken it to like its fullest the sort of logical conclusion here, because I go on to say, towards the start, the Anti-wokeism will become all the more dangerous as it takes up a greater presence in the political fray, and one can see why it would. Why bother with new monetary policy solutions or the immigration scourge when you can instead repeat anti-woke talking points ad nauseum to the raucous applause of the distracted masses? At the same time, a great opportunity is granted to any emerging elites who wish to tap into the rhetoric for their own ends. I'm sure the various factions of the anti-woke political base will eat up technocratic schemes, biometric scans to keep trannies out of the public bathrooms, and no ID, no dole ought to sort those pesky migrants. Vaccine nationalism. You know, we saw this stuff all over GB News for the last 2 years as they've engaged in a massive nationalism integration cycle. It continues on. Wokeism has allowed for the rise of a new and completely performative variant of right-wing politics, one in which, as Academic Agent identifies, there is a reflection of much of the same pathetic victimhood narratives and virtue signalling we would generally associate with modern leftism. It brings with it the death of any notion of genuine virtue. Morals become warped as they are appealed to in what amounts to little else than political point scoring. At the time of writing this, Boris Johnson is making headlines for saying biological males should not be competing in female sporting events, a statement that should carry with it no political capital at all. If anything, one might want to consider asking why he did not feel at liberty to just say men. And of course,
yeah,
the height of modern conservative values is the appeal to the sanctity of professional women's sports. Any possible appeals to a long tradition of conservative thought are dead and gone. Buzzwords and common sense are all the rage. And then we get to the part that people, I think, will know, but I think needs to be said, because it's like part of like the in-group ritual, is that you know this story. Therein lies the rub. Those who decades prior truly grasped what wokeism is and what its purpose it serves are drowned out in the anti-woke rabble. Providing they were not already next in the past for being unwilling to settle for less, even the anti-woke talking heads of today, who speak at no end about cancel culture, have played their own role in this, such as the spineless Dinesh D'Souza and his upending of the late Sam Francis. Now the only education of what it means to be right-wing that ever regularly breaks into the mainstream is tainted with the need to be anti-woke first and foremost. Very few of the anti-woke scolds are ever capable of breaking out of the strictures of presently orientated thought. They all speak in a language which ultimately defends all but the very worst parts of the status quo, a rearguard action for the regime a la crocodile. Only those who are authentically committed to right-wing thought are able to elucidate accurately that the very foundations of the status quo are rotten, not just the fringes. That we are not at war with just the radical woke left, but the very society which has spent over a century breeding them. And I think for anyone who isn't aware, crocodile is something that Alul focuses on, and it was a sanctioned political satire magazine in the USSR, so that people had an outlet for anti-regime rhetoric that was controlled and distributed by the regime. I mean, that's why I'd sometimes use the term the sanctioned right or the sanctioned opposition, because that's the position these people play.
It is. You've jumped a little bit ahead there. But as people talked about in the chat, they asked if the IDW thing was made up by the left, and to an extent, a lot of the mythology was. Said people like Sam Harris, James Lindsay, Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, as I said earlier, they're considered part of the right because them as a package was mostly pushed by the left, or the, you know, the quote-unquote centre, or what people would consider the natural centre, blah, 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 no neutral politics. You can't gatekeep your organisation if you don't know what your organisation is about or what the minimum requirements should be.
Yes.
Shared ideas are much more likely to be accepted if they come from within the community. But the problem is we've been looking for so long for leaders and big names from without to come in and save us. Well, you know, we've been, I keep harping on about this point, but it's so indicative of the mindset. Everyone's been waiting for Trump to say Gamergate, basically.
Well, no,
that is what people have been doing for years.
That isn't a point someone has brought up in chat, I think. You know, there is JBFH. They may successfully contain populism, but how far can the Great Replacement go before Europeans respond? I think this might be an attempt to try and get mass support for hard managerialism. Entirely correct. I mean, I know we use the term controlled and false opposition a lot, but I don't think people really think through all the way about what's going on and how obvious it is in front of you. You know, as we said earlier on, these people, you know, your Sam Harris's, you know, your Jordan Peterson, whoever it is, they are almost like clinically, you know, allergic to the notion of actually defeating the left as a political enemy. And so are most of our conservative leaders. And part of that is because they will not set a canon of ideas that they stand behind. So that there's nothing really to continually combat these people with. There is only ever this vague appeal to neutrality, objectivity, free speech, democracy. There is no, you know, these are all negative values. There is no positive sort of moral unity that exists in a party that is on the right that can become actionable. And the only way to engage in creating that sort of actionable force is making sure that you basically cut all the dead weight out of your organization. It's I don't really know what much else to add to that, really.
You are right. The thing, like I said, the thing people should have realized long before this kicked off, I know a lot of people were never really serious fans of someone like Sam Harris or James Lindsay to begin with, but you can see from their mindset, you can see from James Lindsay's attachment to the myths of liberal history and Sam Harris's attachment to being a quote-unquote liberal atheist, that they are incompatible with the project that most people are trying here. It's people are beginning to realize what they aren't, and Sam Harris is very much what they aren't, but people really aren't too afraid to codify what they are still. And I think a large part, though, of where Sam Harris's mindset comes from, he believes in nothing, like most liberals do. He has no real higher idea of where power comes from or where ideas come from or where his morals should be as an atheist. So he just defaults to the position of his will makes right. And ironically, it's a very might makes right argument that they were capable, therefore they should have censored.
Well, I think
it really is indicative of where a lot of the community comes from. Again, Jordan Peterson, someone in the chat said that Jordan Peterson considered himself above politics. He sees himself as an enlightened commentator. He sees himself as hovering above it. But again, that's a problem. He sees himself as too good to get in and do something about it. He sees himself as too good to be partisan and too good to identify who the enemy is. And that ultimately makes him useless.
Well, no, I was thinking there, I think to come back again to the clip of Sam Harris that everyone was sharing around, is there not a point within there which he basically delves into a bizarre version of his own friend-enemy distinction? And that's ultimately why he justified the complete and utter sort of degenerate and deleterious attitudes of our current elites, because he basically doesn't believe anyone could do the job better. At least that's what it seemed to me from the brief clips of that I saw elsewhere.
Oh, it very much does. It's pure Schmidt. A lot of it's just pure Schmidt. It's very, they are enemy, they are not friend, therefore there is no immoral thing that can be done by friend, and there is no moral thing that can be done by enemy. It's purely that. That's just what it is, and I want to talk about that slightly later down. Slightly later on. I just want to quickly go over the steps that I've got here with the failure of gatekeeping. Is there's no codified set of ideas to test against. So you would have seen a James Lindsay if he'd been quizzed when he started saying, "Look, are you explicitly right wing? Do you accept these ideas? Is this a minimum you can sign up to?" And he would have said, "No." It's like, right, okay. You can associate with us. Mm. That's, again, that's a step that people are very afraid to take. Well, so there's no cohesive group identity out of that.
That's why it makes sense why they never engage any, you know, as I said earlier, a sort of robust understanding of liberalism as part of the Western canon. I mean, even Sargon does a better job of that, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, for all his failures, he can at least grasp some of that. Still not all of it. I think if you gave him a Eric von Ritter Kuhnelt Leiden book, he'd turn into a puddle at the bloody Witch of the West or whatever. What do you mean democracy and liberalism are incompatible? Melts.
Yeah, or God forbid, like some of the 90s Rothbard Unleashed the Police stuff that went over with good old Louis. At least, I'm going to say Louis grasps the power and violence stuff, which is why we had him on for that stream, which is very good. Mm. But a lot of people won't accept that. They won't accept that when Sam Harris says, you know, you are our enemy and there is nothing unprincipled that we will not do against you, and there is nothing unprincipled that we will not forgive our allies doing, that they realize that what the reply to that should be, well, game on, really.
Mm.
Well, if that's the rules you want to play by, you are essentially saying that we are an existential enemy, and we will in turn have to treat you like an existential enemy, and you don't want the logical conclusion of that.
Well, yeah, you've gone on to say the fact that because there's no codified set of ideas, there can be no sense then of who is and isn't in the group, because the standard is arbitrary.
Yeah, there's no in-group out-group dynamic.
That is not to say that having arbitrary standards is a bad thing. I think having arbitrary standards is an entirely good thing. It shows that you have some level of sovereignty, because it is ultimately the exception you're judging upon, not the procedure. But if there is no set standard and you do not know exactly who is setting the standard, then it becomes very amorphous. You know, it's not even that, you know, if in theory we were to look at, you know, the scene we are involved in and say someone like A or Morgoth or one of these other people is, you know, might not have a set standard that they could objectively describe to you time and time again as the same, but you would at least know who the set standard is coming from. And that's, you know, we're almost kind of doing it backwards at that point. We're imputing backwards from the point of there being no standards and all the other consequences that leads to.
Well, like I said, what happens is people don't recognize that this is a need for gatekeeping moment. They think this is a need to reaffirm their commitment to democracy and liberalism moment.
Mm.
They think that they can endlessly appeal to free speech and endlessly appeal to being the bigger person and the principled defeat, as I'll talk about a little bit later. And ultimately what they do is they say that abandoning the big tent, in quotes, is to lead to terminal decline.
Yes.
That you will it's what we've talked about before with, oh, the left will destroy itself this time. Oh, look at them, they're gatekeeping each other and it's all going to go. It never does.
Mm.
Never happens. It's been going on for decades. It's been going on for
this
more
is
than
something
a century.
That extends
never
past
happens.
The IDW as well. I mean, I see,
yeah.
You know, it's something we've said time and time again, that we want better people, not necessarily more, whereas the attitude of your IDW scene and a lot of other, you know, arguably distant right circles is that, no, we need more people, which obviously then consequently means you're not thinking about the quality of the people that you're taking on. So they still have this idea that you start a social movement, you make advertising and materials for it, and then you get to this critical mass, whatever they define it as, and then at that point you win somehow. And it's very much its lowest common denominator thinking. You know, it's not about whether or not we have a group of 10,000 people, of which the top 100 have a massive amount of influence. It's actually, no, we need a group of 1 million people who have a tiny amount of influence. It is the core essence of AA's book, The Populist Delusion. You know, it's the inverse of the understanding of what you mentioned earlier on, Mikhail's Iron Law of Oligarchy, which is that an organized minority will always rule over disorganized majority, and that is within society as a whole and within singular organizations. And I think that is the point sometimes where people lose the sort of the lesson that they should be learning from there, is that, like, you know, not only does this happen across society through the form of politics, but this also happens within political parties and even loosely gathered together movements that seem on the face of them, something like the IDW, whereby, oh, we're just all these people and visiting the marketplace of ideas and we're all here engaging out of our own choice. And then you begin to realise that you're engaging with essentially another technique of mass organisation that was probably deliberately put in place by people who are a lot more clever than us and have had this thing planned out for a lot longer than us.
It's very much the moment from last year's Shieldings event. The semi-famous moment now you can't just burn the pedophile books. You know, that you can't burn the pedophile books, that's a liberal. That's extremism, you can't do that. That's not what, you know, that's not what we're about, becoming the monsters you fight, blah, blah, blah. once you reach that moment, you reach that snapping point where somebody basically chastises you for saying that there are tactical differences between friend and enemy. That's when you realize that that person really, one is either naive or just is not on your side. And that's why there's been, I put it as number four, that there are voices ingrained within the quote unquote movement that will constantly warn against doing any of this. They will warn
Oh,
against codifying
you
ideas,
can't have a
then
purity
they will.
spiral. That'll tear the movement apart. And then what you find is that if you don't purity spiral, the movement falls apart anyway because it wasn't ever a thing. I mean,
It's very funny that people who will argue about what the definition of a woman is endlessly won't define what a right winger or a conservative is.
Yeah, no, I don't see Matt Walsh going up on Daily Wire and giving his, several thousand word essay explanation on why, being against democracy and universal suffrage is a fundamental component of being right wing, or how,
Well,
you
it's.
could use sources from Evola and Otto Weiniger to construct a much more holistic understanding of sexuality and sex. No, instead it's we actually just refer to basic baseline materialist and sort of Darwinist responses to postmodernism that don't really work anyway, because the
No.
postmodernists don't
The solution to the quote unquote tranny problem has been to turn yourself into 1970s feminists,
Yes.
is to lean back on the language of civil rights and women as a protected class, which is essentially allowing yourself to be subsumed into the far leftism of the 1970s. That's what's happened. You have become TERFs, and the T sorry, the F in TERF stands for feminist. And there's that whole spiel I've been on before. It's like, look, the enemy of your enemy is not your friend.
No.
And you shouldn't allow them to define what you are, because that's how we've ended up in the situation that we are. There's something I want to mention as well, which is I've always had disquiet with Jordan Peterson. But to my discredit, I've kind of tolerated him in the beginning because I think he did get a lot of people in. That's not very useful on its own. But there is some utility to not having no eyeballs. You have to strike a balance between more and better people. But I think around about 2018, 2019, I think it's when I realized he had that $10 personality test, to be honest, I started to err on the side of useless grifter. But it's something I haven't been able to articulate particularly well until now. But the moment. Really, I think it was a. I did. I learned about this later. It was a couple of years ago. But Sam Harris's conversation with Jordan Peterson that goes on for like five parts and like 7 hours
Yeah.
about
Well,
what is
this is
truth.
something I mentioned to you one I think I mentioned this to you the other week when we were in the pub. Sort of jokingly, you'd mentioned something about, like spinning wheels or something like that. I'd say, oh, the ultimate wheel spinning, which is a man who doesn't understand Christianity and a man who barely understands atheism talking about truth for on a live stage, charging people upwards of £100 a ticket for hours at a time.
Yes, it's masturbatory, and it always has been. It is pure like mental masturbation,
But
and it doesn't go
this is
anywhere.
exactly the sort of thing that John O'Sullivan is talking about, though. If you allow these people to be part of your movement. And I think that there is some other examples we could point to who are your sort of some of your distant right figures that do a lot of the same thing. Think of the pagan Christian discussion. I mean, look, there's interesting stuff there. And if I was someone who was more inclined to specifically studying religious texts, then maybe I would take an interest in it. However, what really seems to be going on there from a sort of outsider's perspective is people are spending tens of hours at a time debating which religion is politically useful, but which is also the best one, which in itself seems to me like an innately contradictory thing to approach from anyway.
It's like it's a utilitarian approach to the spiritual, which is very, very post World War II.
God, that, and then to like, oh, well, everyone's a Christ cuck, or you're some sort of pagan that's a Eurasianist, or oh, it's something I just can't stand. And that if I think honestly, if we say, for example, we did a Nomos event and we wanted to talk about religion, I think on like we probably wouldn't even do that in the first place, because as soon as you open up that conversation, you open up and don't gatekeep
Well,
away the people who engage in that material.
it's the debating society.
Yeah.
It's the useless rabble of empty noise. It's very much what Lenin had to fight with, and eventually snapped out with what was with democratic centralism, which is a hilarious euphemism for "we're in charge now, and you'll do what we say, or you'll
See, I was
become."
going to look at this article, but I just can't be bothered at all. Instead, I'm
No,
going
I,
to
I.
continue on to the point you were talking about there, which is a very interesting one, and it's why everyone should read One Step Forward, Two Steps Back. I actually found there was a page called Stalinist Revisionism on Telegram yesterday that was talking specifically about this. That is it Tchaikovsky or something like that? I can quickly get the thing up. I can find it. It'll just be a second. Just so I can get the name right. Yeah, he's talking about is it Pyatkov and all the other Trotskyists who were turning around to Lenin prior to the Bolshevik Revolution, saying, well, no, we can't just have a revolution in Russia. It can't just be a national revolution. That's reactionary. It's selective. It's not engaging in the worldwide, anarcho-communist revolution that we should really struggle for, which is probably a way in showing the fact that most of your Trotskyites weren't actually about having a revolution. They were about spending all day talking about having a revolution.
Yes.
Whereas Lenin thought, no, we're not talking about this anymore, and basically told them to like go chase themselves. But it's funny
Well,
because
that's.
it's in one of the first few pages, One
Yeah.
Step Forward, Two Steps Back, and it was that thing that made me realize that, your Sam Harris's, your Jordan Peterson's, funnily enough, who talk about the left day in, day out, don't actually understand or aren't willing to describe to you what you're actually dealing with in the real enemy, which is not someone who cares about equality. They're not someone who genuinely believes in their values past what it gets them in sort of rhetorical flourishes. They are actually instead just pure Machiavellians and men of action, really, at the end of the day.
It's the same trouble I encountered with various other spheres of the internet who would talk endlessly about quote unquote bread tube or God forbid irrelevant people like Vouch. I mean, I started the stream and I will reiterate that people like Sam Harris, Jordan Peterson, people like Ben Shapiro, James Lindsay are irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. Debunking them does nothing. Sam Harris exposing himself as a dirty, dirty Trump hater who has Trump derangement syndrome, herder libs owned, doesn't do anything. It's functionally useless. The lessons that you can derive from it in the wider sense that we're talking about here are useful, but the event on its own is useless because he is a nobody. He was there to waste time. And that is ultimately my problem with the Sam Harrises of this world, the Jordan Petersons of this world. Even though they're not explicitly against you, what they do is they have spent years wasting time, money, and energy of potentially millions of people and getting them into a state in which they are disheartened, disgruntled, and they don't know
Shall
what to
we
do because they've been led around in circles,
go to a
talking around
different
the problem.
Sam? One who has no
Yes.
qualms with, who does not beat around the bush, as it were.
No.
Does this not zoom in? Oh, it zooms. So wait, it zooms, but it actually makes the book go further away. That's terrible. What?
Yeah, that's why I said get the raw text version.
That's all right. I can get it up. It'll still work.
You can't really see it
I know,
though.
it's because I was fanning about with the other zoom function because there's two different ones, and I didn't realize you can make like the Internet Archive UI bigger, which
Yeah,
then makes the text
you can just
smaller.
make that view bigger. This is from, we've read bits of it before, but this is from Sam Francis's Beautiful Losers. It's from an essay called As We Go Marching, and it's from the top of page 182 in this scanned edition.
Would
But
you
what
like me to, or?
I can read this one. What it says, it's talking about basically right-wing appeals to democracy. But he says, how general does participation have to be before a non-democratic system becomes democratic? What are free debate, free speech, and a fair trial? What is, and so on? The content and meaning of such terms are so variously interpreted in the United States that other countries that rely upon them for defining a word such as democracy, it is not helpful. I think I slightly butchered that quote there. That reliance on them for defining a word such as democracy is not helpful. And what he's getting to the heart of there really is he's cutting through a lot of the discussion when people fall back and say, well, Sam Harris has revealed himself as being against true democracy and against proper free debate and free speech. It's like, well, who gets to define that?
Oh, yeah. It's,
who,
it's,
they are meaningless
his next
terms.
Line here
they don't...
is great. He's talking about Mr. Fossedal, which rings a bell briefly, but...
He's replying to essentially a neocon essay.
Yeah. Moreover, it is odd that Mr. Fossedal nowhere specifically includes in his understanding of democracy the element of opposition, though the right or power of opposition to an incumbent set of rulers is essential to most Western ideas of freedom, which is him almost pulling like a... You know, he's almost sort of like, you know, democracy is an inherently conflictual idea. How can you discuss this without also discussing the nature of conflict within politics?
Yep. Well, it's very much what we talked about earlier, which is that you end up with all these people who talk about the principled victory. They talk about the fact of, well, they may have won, but they did it wrong and we kept our principles, so that's a real victory. It's very much the idea that the right should lose and continue to lose.
This paragraph and afterwards should... as well, sorry. And the second paragraph of the great footnote, Christ, Mr. Fossedal tells us, for the purpose of this book, where an advance of economic or civil freedom occurs, even without the function of a representative body, it will be equated with an advance of democracy. But in the next paragraph, he says, he will not be offended if readers mentally... scribble in the word representative before the word democracy wherever it appears throughout most of the book. Thus, we are to assume that Mr. Fossedal's democracy is representative even when there is no representation. I mean, this is, he's almost sort of, you know, he's purely just, or he's trying as hard as he can not to just say that, oh, well, democracy is just the term by which we rationalize our acceptance of modernity with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a point Ted Kaczynski actually makes, and it's in one of the letters to David Scabrina in Technological Slavery, where he suggests to him that, like, you know, had Britain and America not been successful nations in war and in commerce, would there be a reverence for liberal democracy? No, probably not. And the point he's almost sort of slyly making here, similar to what this Fossedal guy's nearly admitting, is that the things that make a liberal democratic society, at least as we know them, great, are actually not neither liberal nor democratic for the most part. They are the functions of private organisations or of aspects of government which in no way, shape or form could even be representative, never mind whether or not they are in procedure or voting. We know by Mikhail's Iron Law of Oligarchy that they cannot be representative. It's physically impossible.
To avoid reading the whole book, I just like to move on to some of what that quote applies to in this context, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get too off into the weeds.
Sorry, I'll just one up and waiting.
Yeah. When we come to the whole gatekeeping aspect, it very much is a, as much as we have disdain for someone sitting around and saying, well, what is truth? You have to rely on specificity. You have to rely on specific definitions. And it's not as granular as, well, your truth isn't my truth, blah, blah, blah. But going around in circles with ill-defined terms like free debate, free speech and free trial, and yes, even words like truth isn't useful. You have to have
usefulness. I've just noticed, not to interrupt you, AA's cigar stream this evening is with Pete Q and Radlib on getting Hopper right. I'm actually deeply offended I was not asked to go on that one. Shocking. Anyway,
Well,
sorry.
we'll be finished. Yeah, we'll be finished before that, and we'll probably be handing off to that, I think. Because that actually sounds pretty good. But is that on tonight or is that on tomorrow?
That's on
It's on
in
tonight.
25 minutes, which means it'll be on in 45 minutes.
Oh, apparently it's on in 55 minutes now. It's already been changed.
Ah,
But
right.
anyway, not to discuss that other live stream too much because I can already see people leaving. The wider context is that simply defaulting to that position is ideologically incompatible
Yes, thank,
with being
thank,
right wing.
thank you, members of chat. Please pity me. Poor Evelyn SMH. We demand Evelyn. The trucks are outraged.
Yes.
See, the trucks would be outraged if I was there, which is probably why I'm not.
That's to be fair, they have got Radlib and they have got PQ.
No, I know.
So it's quite well covered in that. But the second point I want to make in regards to another quote we'll be reading in a second from Samuel Francis is that the right wing have become accustomed and even celebrate being made up of the cast-offs from the supposed sane left and neutral centre. But it has allowed explicitly anti-right-wing personalities to virtually dominate the discourse in spaces like the
Well, yeah,
IDW. You have
it's a
someone like
very
Sam Harris who is
I was it's a very
who finds that Trump is far too extreme for him.
it's a very obvious sort
But
of interplay once you look at it, though, that once you have what is right is defined as not left, it is very easy for people who are also not right to pretend to be not left in the effort to hamper the right and secretly help the
yes.
left or the center or the status quo, whichever you want to call it.
As I was saying, it allows people who have a track record of being not of the right, not on the right, and having opinions incompatible with the right to become these temporary right figures until they have to default back. And you're not allowed to trust your lying eyes when it comes to the things they've said in the past. And you're not allowed to, as you talked about earlier, the purity spiral is frowned upon, that you're not allowed to point this out. As I said earlier, if a couple of years ago, if pre-pandemic, we'd gone and said, look, Jordan Peterson, Sam Harris, Ben Shapiro, to an extent, people like Steven Crowder, even all these people, Brett Weinstein, they are not your friends. You should cut these people out. These are not useful because they are. It's like the meme I put in earlier. It's like I taught him wrong as a joke. The thin end of the wedge isn't the Boomer Truth regime. You don't teach people the Boomer Truth regime as partially regurgitated by Jordan Peterson, by Sam Harris, by Ben Shapiro, even by people like Thomas Sowell. You don't teach them in that way and then have to unteach them. You don't teach people 2 + 2 = 5, and then several steps later, like in Scientology, just reveal to them that 2 + 2 is actually 4. And by the way, your soul's covered in thetans. But no, it feels like that. It feels very incongruous to inculcate people using the language, the myths, the presuppositions of post-war neoliberal society, and then essentially try and do this moment of dance where it's like, oh yeah, by the way, we really are Nazis as defined by some of your heroes. Sorry, don't turn around and hate us for XYZ. We had to do that, otherwise you never would have listened to us in the first place. It honestly feels
Well,
dishonest
yes,
because
no,
someone
I.
talks about the whole the Jordan Peterson to what was it? It was like Jordan Peterson's Ted Kaczynski pipeline or something like that. And it's for every one person like that, there are 50 others who act as a backstop and
Yes.
other people that go, well, I like Jordan Peterson, but as trigonometry told me when they had on Sam Harris, the people who had on Sam Harris and they held him to account, so they're the good guys. They told me that Nina Panini and his Populist Delusion cookbook was actually a Nazi text. So I'm not a Nazi and I'm not associating with those people. It you end up with a order of magnitude more who are kept in the myths rather than those who graduate and are able to think for themselves better. It's there's a lot more of them as you've probably noticed.
I have little else to add. That was, yeah. I don't know. Should we get onto the other quote we've got here, and
Yes,
we can slowly but
I'll
surely park this one on the way in.
I will let you read this one. It's the best one, I'd say.
Shall I do the whole thing, or just to the point where it's hence?
Just read. I'd say the neoconservatism I inserted in the quote in the is probably. Yeah. It says neoconservatism is content, because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about neoconservatism.
Well, no, because he mentioned some other things here as well. Mr. Fosterdale's prolonged ode to global democracy is characteristic of the neoconservative, social democratic, Straussian, progressive, conservative school of political thought. That's a Paul Gottfried number, if I've ever read one.
Yeah, that's very much a Paul Gottfried
now,
number.
Now, that now seems to prevail on the mainstream American right. Both his text and his acknowledgements are filled with quotations from the exponents of this movement and expressions of gratitude to them. The chief goal of this movement seems to be not a serious exploration of and challenge to the presuppositions of the dominant American political culture, but rather the pursuit of its own political and cultural power. Hence, it is content to adapt prevailing liberal humanist presuppositions to its own purposes and avoids expressing any thought or tolerating expressions by anyone else that might offend, threaten, or frighten our own majors of the palace who guard the public discourse. To challenge the dominant presuppositions would mean isolation from the mainstream of political debate that these presuppositions define, and would make the quest for power far more difficult. The result has been the intellectual impoverishment of the American right, the emasculation of a genuinely radical conservatism, and its replacement by bubble talk and sophomoric cant more suitable for the Boy Scout jamboree than for the consideration by grown men and women concerned with the prospects of their civic culture.
That is amazing. For those of you who don't know, sophomoric.
If anyone doesn't know what those words mean, they can Google them themselves. This isn't
I know.
A,
I'm just saying though.
This
it's
a ball
very.
Pit.
It's great. No, no. It's very great, precise language that I want to bring it home. It means conceited and overconfident of knowledge, but poorly informed and immature. And cant means hypocritical and sanctimonious talk. And it's very, like, a sophomoric cant is a great way of describing the way that people like Seth Harris speak. It is this, it is like the peak Reddit atheist, if you will, he's describing in the 80s here. He's talking about these people who are very, very confident in their sanctimony. And they have this tiny, you know, it's amazing that someone like Sam Harris is considered some kind of genius and some intellectual heavyweight, because he's such a retard. He's so obviously a retard when you listen to what he says. Well, it's the same with, honestly, a lot of what Jordan Peterson says.
I mean,
says
this
too.
Is Sam Francis doing one of the few powers him and Rothbard have, which is travelling through time and grabbing you by the scruff of the neck,
yeah,
and screaming at you that this is how it's been since the 80s. Please take it seriously.
Yeah. It's the prevailing liberal humanist supposition. It does. It emasculates genuinely radical conservatism, and there's been this process to continue the intellectual impoverishment of not just the American right, but what could be described as the global right.
That's almost,
as it nominally exists.
That's almost word for word what I put in the "Why Settle for Less" article. That's almost sort of,
yes,
uncanny.
Well, it's a very sound conclusion, because it's a very obvious result of observing reality that you have these people who are willing to bring in these, you know, call them boomer truth regimes, call them myths of the left, call it how the ratchet works, call it what you want, but they bring in this outside stuff, like Reagan codifying Martin Luther King Day very famously in the SME we went over when we did the Beautiful Loser stream. You have, like what we talked about earlier, there is no set definition anymore of what, quote unquote, the right is. So even though someone like Reagan was explicitly, supposedly of the right, I mean, you have that boring book full of statistics that I bought that's just called The Myth of the Reagan, you know, of the Reagan Revolution,
yes,
which shows in raw fact, in boring numbers, and pretty empirically, as much as I hate to use that term, that Reagan was a giant shift to the left in terms of, well, supposed American conservative
not
policy.
So much a shift to the left, but he took all the power structures that were there at that present time, formalised them into a new understanding about them, and then allowed the left and federal bodies to run roughshod over them once he'd basically given them the keys to them. And at that whole time it was argued that that was a libertarian policy from him.
It's very funny. It gets into all the stuff that we talk about there, the crisis and Leviathan stuff. This very much is partially how the Ratchet functions politically. That the previous generation of radicals, in terms of what the establishment wants, become the moderates when the new radicals emerge, and the generation before that becomes the nominal conservatives. That's how you end up with Return to Fresh Prince. That is the process. That's the process by which consensus is manufactured and discourse is locked off section by section when it comes to true radical right policy. I don't think anyone who is in a position that is employed in media, who is reliant on any of the money from, the what he describes, what Francis describes as the mages of the palace who guard public discourse, would describe themselves as somebody of the radical right. That is like a death sentence. You can't explicitly describe yourself as someone of the radical right. That is taking a gun and shooting your own career in the head and possibly getting you like unpersoned and in court like Alex Jones. It's very obvious again that the people who were nominally in the quote unquote IDW had the backing of the establishment just through that Barry Weiss article. That they talk in almost like simperingly glowing terms for how they can act as a backstop against the real bigots. It's very clear that those people have defined AA et al. As the real bigots, and us and people like Tho Bishop and the people who would dare question the Civil War or World War II as the ultimate real bigots. Like we as we had up AA's kind of infographic, as it were, earlier, his scale of unacceptability. That's the way it functions. And more and more, there's a lot more on there though, that there's a lot more that should be on there that's there's not room for, things like questioning civil rights, stuff like that.
Well, I think that would come
Like
under
that.
something that, your genuine opposition to LGB, as he frames it, would be, the basic position of, well, can I discriminate against these people on my own property? Which is a tenet of how liberalism works. You don't have that
Yes.
ability as an individual to declare what isn't the appropriate moral standards as whatever you see them fit on your own property, then the whole notion of how liberalism gets held together as a set of ideas completely falls apart because it's lost the functional part that makes it a thing that works.
Again, the liberal, like no blacks, no Jews, no gays is the liberal position. The liberal position can't function without that being possible. And yet, you would struggle to find probably anybody who describes themselves even as a classical liberal who would argue that they are for that. You could probably talk them into it by reverse engineering, torturously through time, how civil rights erodes property rights completely. But you talk to them the next day and it'd be gone like they've forgotten it. I've had this conversation so many times with so many quote unquote classical liberal types, and they always default to the position that you can't do that. That's the real racist position. But whereas the ability to discriminate in terms of a private business, it is the tenet of property rights, and without it, you don't have property rights. But even that basic of a talking point is so far beyond the
Go
pale.
read John Locke, go read any of these people, even Rousseau, for God's sake. Rousseau thought that the vast majority of people were too idle and too thick to be voters. That's why he didn't support universal democracy. Because he thought, well, in principle, in the state of nature, blah, 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 but most people are so low-minded and unenlightened, as he thought, that there would be no point in them voting because they would ruin society. John Locke didn't even think that natural rights applied to people that weren't white. That's why he was pro-slavery as a liberal. Now square that circle.
It's great when time period, you end up with history apologetics, and then you really start getting into the boomer truth regime defaulting, and that they try and take the quote unquote good as seen from a modern perspective and pick it out from the quote unquote bad from the time period, and you end up completely demolishing the ideas to a point that they
Yeah,
are meaningless.
I like Dr. Prepper in the chat here. He's made a point similar to one that Bowden makes. If you can find the Jonathan Bowden speech on Evola, that one's fantastic because he actually discusses a lot of the things we discussed on this stream, I think, in a sort of different roundabout way. But the notion that like the notion, the thing that makes you truly of the right is that you see hierarchy in everything, and you see hierarchy as an almost sort of transcendent metaphysical model upon which the entire world and man as a part of that is constructed upon. And because if you know, and if you truly grasp that and understand that that's the way the world is and how it works, then you know from a, you know, a first principle sort of basis point that democracy is against man. It cannot work with man. It is an anti-man system, which for people who call themselves humanists, I find quite interesting.
It is. It's the very, again, a lot of people have got very upset with me for saying this, but you can't have people who are avowed anti-spiritualist atheists in your movement. Like, those people need to be gatekept out at a minimum. If you don't believe that human spirituality in some way is real, if you don't have some kind of metaphysics, if you don't believe in a non-material higher power that isn't some horrible Reddit, you know, I'm a new age atheist, Buddhist bullcrap, you don't belong here. Go out and find, do whatever you need to do. But you can't be that person. And I there's also the aspect that a lot of people LARP as religious when they're still on kind of an agnostic journey. Belief has to be genuine as well. It's very difficult for people to get to that point. And it's one of the problems that most people have when they encounter this space. And that if you really get into literature, like we try to do here, not to sound pompous, but we are very focused on quoting sources and getting people to read things. And a lot of what we talk about is very much presupposed on that idea. You can't separate one from the other. You can't be a, for want of a better term, you know, empiricoid. You can't really be that person and also genuinely believe in all of these things. They are fundamentally incompatible. I think someone like Sam Harris is a perfect example of that, because he is the epitome of the rationalist liberal atheist mindset, which you can't not default to the myths of history because your entire worldview is based on them. If you were somebody who truly believed in pre-modern thinking, you wouldn't be an atheist. That's all I can say on that matter.
I have not much else to add, really. I think we, without constantly going over the same points, have roughly made most of the points we want to this evening. So I'm going to go on to just a random image that we were talking about earlier on, which I find very funny, which is Richard Dawkins. Inshallah, there will be a fat tabby, lazy fat tabby cat who loves lasagna. My joy surpasses all bounds. There is such a cat. God is good.
I love the fake Richard Dawkins. We did mention briefly off air that I think something we've featured on stream like 3 times, but it honestly is some of the funniest shit I've ever seen, which is Richard Dawkins not understanding Metamorphosis by Kafka, because it's just so funny. It's just him going, I don't get it, and like it's almost like a dark comedy. And for those of you who don't know Metamorphosis, just look it up. I'm not gonna put it up on screen again, but I just like Richard Dawkins is such a fucking idiot. Such a fucking idiot. I've never been somebody who was into the whole like atheist scene thing, and that's why, because it is so transparently like fart sniffing. I can't get over just the pomposity and the mental masturbation coupled with just the outright retarded statements these people constantly say. It genuinely irks me, and I'm glad I've got the tools to figure out why these people are how they are. I also don't like Randians, but we'll have to have like a whole stream about that at some point, like just about my hatred of Rand and it being like fedora conservatism. Fucking what's he called, the Jewish guy, the guy who basically turned it into a Yaron Brook and all that.
Oh God, yeah.
And the Rand Institute people, and just completely anyone who has any kind of like, there's a very surface level thinking about that. But I think the Randians need to be
see some of the chat
out and kept out.
There is a comic strip called Garfield without Garfield. There should be one called Dawkins without Dawkins as well. Very based. And then someone in chat's also mentioned Michael Malice, who I would actually put as one of these IDW people nowadays, because he is like off in a completely bizarre, almost like right wing. Like, this is the thing that I've noticed is that being anti-woke is just an aspect of pop culture nowadays. It's just, it is the mainstream. The mainstream is to be anti-woke. I mean, that's everything everyone consumes, day in, day out. So people like Michael Malice and blah, 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 all these people, if they're not really going out, and as we said, positively enforcing a set of ideas, then all they're really doing is just sort of running around in circles, wasting people's time, engaging in pop culture and entertainment. See, now that we're getting towards the end, everybody's bloody super chatting. Why couldn't you be this generous
That
earlier on?
scene. No, it's fine. We've got about 5 minutes. We can do. God, we're getting to the point where we need to set aside time to do the super chats. I just read a couple more comments that made me laugh. JT says, "Yawun Bwooks." That's terrible. No Owoo speak there. Dr. Prepper, who's been consistently very good throughout the stream, I've liked your comments, said Ayn Rand was more of a liberal in the hyper-individualist sense than any sort of traditionalist. I'd also agree that Ayn Rand is like basically a Maoist. She's
Oh
like a
nah, she's nowhere
materialist.
near that cool.
No. She's a materialist Maoist because she papers over all of the cracks in her thinking with human will,
Yeah, there is
and
no
that's what Mao
such thing
does.
as metaphysics. There is only human will, which is ultimately a metaphysical.
But that's what Mao does as well. He just kind of goes whoosh whoosh, human will, there is now
Yeah,
Maoism.
but he actually made something of it. Yeah, we've got Tank Imperator has given us 20 whole Canadian dollars, so about 8 pence. So because we do not gatekeep, property rights have become whittled away and democratized, while the right wing, desperate not to be the right wing, allows people who are against property rights to infiltrate its organizations. I mean, that is a bit sort of singular issue, but I think the way we are talking about it is over a much grander scale. But in essence, yes, had there actually been a solid, tangible, and recognizable right wing force in somewhere like America during the period of civil rights, there would have been, and there was an opposition to civil rights. It's just anyone that tried to have an opposition against it had a race riot in their town for some reason. And
Yeah, amazing that. But yeah, it's very much throw a dart. Property rights is a good issue. It's a good issue to talk about because there's good examples on it. But it's basically all of them. All of the traditionally pre-1945 conservative right-wing ideas have been made almost like pure property rights is seen as like wacky now. It's seen as incredibly extreme, whereas it was like the basic prerequisite for actual classical liberalism. But Aurelian Nautilus Caesar has donated $10 and says, "I remember my journey through atheism. I thought it made sense until I ran into its fundamental issue. It was a religion itself, and that no, there is, sorry, it's a religion itself, and no, there is Joe true atheist, as in like yeah, no true atheist, sorry." It's like no tree. It very much is. It's a set of codified beliefs, ultimately based on faith, and like it's the ultimate kind of basic bitch got you for atheism. But it's true that it is a faith, and there is like no true atheism because if you try and drill down to where they place sovereignty and where they put the limits of morals, it's very much divine light severed. You are a meat automaton animated by neurotransmitters. It gets
There's a
very cyberpunk horror.
last point here from Dominator I think we can end on. I remember you, Scrumpo, saying you cannot be right wing and an atheist, and whilst I think religiosity is best for society as a whole, I cannot find it in myself to believe. Is that just hypocritical nimbyism? No, I think that is the condition of all of us in modernity. We are children of the ashes, so to be honestly religious feels not only weird, but once you begin to have a reverence for the thing itself, it feels asinine. If
I will.
you are open to religion, if you are open to transcendent ideas, if you can see the metaphysical in at least something or something else, and are not directly opposed to the idea of religion publicly, then I don't see the contradiction.
It is that. Hello?
Yeah, still here.
Sorry, the back end was saying no data for a second there. It kind of scared me, but it's not true. I will. A lot of people, I think, misunderstand the term atheist. It's very much precluding the idea. If you're an agnostic, that's fine. I don't mind people just going, look, I don't believe, but I don't know. Like, I can't find it yet, or I can't find it within myself and maybe never will. But the specific arrogance of saying, I can say with complete certainty that there is no divine is not compatible with right-wing ideas completely. It's again, it's quite a high bar. A lot of people, I think, and they've again allowed the neutral ground by design to be dominated by, well, if you don't believe in a specific organized religion, you're an atheist. That's what a lot of people seem to think of it where the bar is, but that's not where I put the bar. Atheist is a very specific term. It's somebody who is not a theist. It's somebody who completely precludes the idea of there being a god or the divine. So that's how I define it, and that's why I say it's incompatible. But I think we've reached the end of our stream today.
I believe we have, yes.
Unless we have, do we have anything else we need to shill? I think we've shilled everything at the beginning. What I will do then is I will do an actual handoff as we keep failing to do. We try and remember. We'll go and raid. He doesn't really need it, but it starts about half an hour. Go raid AA stream. Tell him Scrump and Evelyn sent you.
Yeah, we did a great stream on gatekeeping that was very insightful. And they better make sure he gets his interpretation of Hopper right.
I'm gonna double check I've got all the super chats and
I
Streamlab
suppose
stuff.
quickly I will briefly
I have,
mention as
yes.
well
Here we go.
before that. Is there no contents in the description, or is the YouTube backend just being weird? I was
The
just.
YouTube back end just being
All right.
weird.
Yeah, because it's froze at 41 concurrent viewers for me, while the bottom thing says over 100.
No, we have stuff in the description, yes.
Whilst there are loads of people here, though, and if they are not familiar or already aware, we run our own events organisation. So if it's a bit short notice and you can't make it to the Shieldings event, or it's a bit outside of your what's workable with your purse, which is entirely understandable, you can come to the Nomos
Understandable. Have a
event
nice
that we will
day.
be doing in London in October. I know there's plenty of people in chat who have been to the previous ones already, and I've had nothing but positive to say about them. So I don't know. I hope some of the people in chat, seeing as we've got a decent number this evening, might consider to come to our next event if they are able.
Yes. I don't want to tread on Shielding's toes because I realize that they still have a couple of
No,
tickets to
they
sell.
are, but we did also mention that off the top,
Yes.
so.
No. Don't tell AA to let me on. I'm tired and need to go to bed. I don't have the spoons for that right now. But yeah, we'll go raid AA. Thank you guys for
I'm
coming
all out of
today.
spoons.
I'm all out of mental spoons. I can't remember whose phrase that is. It might be my friend Gwen who says spoons actually, which I think is a great term. I've just kind of inherited that one. And people just kind of know what you mean when you say it. it's just one of those things. But yeah, thank you for coming today. Thank you for everyone who donated. We actually had to set time aside, so that was kind of funny. Thank you to everyone who's helped the channel grow. We have been doing quite well recently, despite a bit of a sporadic schedule. So thank you to everybody. Like I said, it's terrible to say it, but do like and subscribe. That will mean you actually see our videos if you want to. It's just the way the algorithm works, I'm afraid. You got to kind of play the YouTube game. I hate saying that. It
No,
actually
but
feels dirty.
if people ask you, oh, well, why should we gatekeep? Why is the IDW bad? Why do we need a not necessarily a positive vision, but at least one central vision that we all agree to? Why does the big tent not work? Send them this.
You have yourselves a good night, friends, and I might put up a couple of those remastered memes that I made in the community post, because you might have noticed, but I actually turned the no non friends
I
and
have had it
the
up for quite a bit of the stream because it's just a great image.
and the friend autonomous zone. They were not 1080p. I've extended them in MS Paint, and I'm quite happy with the results. That has been done like pixel by pixel. It took me a while
God.
actually. But yeah, we there are full HD meme remasters is our seems to be our brand now.
Yeah.
So I'll put those up as community posts, and also maybe with some of the stream notes as well. So
Yes, I'm thinking maybe we might do on Monday evening if we're both back in time, maybe like just a quick Fieldings recap, I suppose, as well. If we jump on it straight away on Monday night, we might be able to get some people on as well to talk about it. So
that might be helpful, yes. But I'll try and do that.
Yes, expect to maybe see that on Monday, and if not, see us next Thursday at our usual time. So good night, one and all.
Good night. Oops, sorry, I just closed the back end there, so I can't press end stream. I'm now pressing it, so actually goodbye. Ha ha.